Nacho Land Podcast with David Amoyal.
Bienvenuti, as we would say in Italy. Welcome to all of you that don't speak Italian. Thank you so much for joining us for a special episode of the Calcio Land podcast. So we are recording this because I'm going to be out of town for a week, but I wanted to make sure we had at least one podcast for you guys, and I couldn't think of a better topic than a player we've discussed almost every episode in the past few months, Sergei Milinkovic-Savic. So today we're going to give you kind of an introduction to him as a player, if you're not that familiar with him. So Alex and I will go through a little bit of a profile on him, talk about the market that's out there for him transfer-wise. And that way, you know, if your team's linked to him, you'll be able to have a pretty good idea of what he'd bring to the table. And then we're going to run some clips from previous episodes of Calcioland where we talked about him, and we have some great guests from previous episodes who are going to share his experience with the player as well. So I'll tell you how I got interested in him. You know, I of course, watch Serie A religiously. Lazio, for some reason, has been a team that I have a affection for. I've always been intrigued by a lot of their players. So, you know, player like Milinkovic-Savic sticks out, if anything, for his physical, you know, he's really physically imposing. So if you're watching a game, he stands out for that. But he really passed the eye test for me right from the beginning. It reminded me a little bit of when Pogba started coming off the bench for Juve and started showing his great skills. You know, they have similar bodies, similar grace in the way that they play, similar dribbling and spinning ability that's quite impressive. But the thing that stands out too about Milinkovic-Savic is also his grit and his tenacity. I've always described him as a cross between Pogba and, say, someone like Diego Simeone when he was a player, and he actually played at Lazio as well. So if you kind of want an idea of what to look for, those would be the comps. And I will tell you, although I always tweet about the Milinkovic-Savic Appreciation Society meetings, I do have to give a shout out to the original founder of it, which is someone on Twitter, fantastic follow, Dan Mays, a big Milan account, Mazzino. Really knows his stuff about calcio. So he probably, actually, I'm pretty sure he started tweeting even before about Milinkovic-Savic, and, you know, I really respect his opinion, so it kind of validated what I was seeing. So the last thing that I want to say before we also bring in Alex on the podcast is Milinkovic-Savic comes from great stock. Both, he comes from a family of athletes. His father was a professional footballer and his mother was a professional basketball player. And some of you may know his brother is actually a goalkeeper on Torino. And the thing that I mentioned, you know, his physical tools, like even just his ability on headers is really amazing. One thing that stands out if you watch Lazio is a lot of time the keeper, when he's kicking the ball forward, he's really looking for him with the headers to kind of set up the run of play. And this season, I think he really took another dimension to his game by scoring 12 goals, became really a dangerous offensive player. So enough about me rambling on him. I want to bring in our producer, great friend, Alex Goldberg. So you've been hearing about Milinkovic-Savic for a long time on the podcast. But, you know, tell our listeners what's been your impression about him. What really stands out to you?
What really stands out, David, is how easy he makes the sport look. He does everything. I think you've said grace before. But at the same time, someone with grace usually doesn't have that grinta that you talk about so much, usually doesn't have that tenacity. He really seems to have it all, and that includes pace. He obviously is no Douglas Costa, but he can get churning when he's got that ball at his feet. He's got great shooting ability up at net or far away from net, which, of course, there are so many Pogba parallels, but, of course, when people think of Pogba, they'll think of some of his golassos, even for Juventus, from really, really deep. Milinkovic-Savic can absolutely pierce you from way back. His passing ability, he only had 3 Serie A assists this year, but honestly, take that with a grain of salt because he is a tremendous passer. He also did have 3 assists in Europa League, so that's impressive. But then also just his physicality, his ability to tackle. When I look at him, I think of a complete CM. And CMs these days are so trendy. That really is, in my opinion, that is probably the number one position I want. If you can tell me absolutely. Your star, your star is going to be this position, I would choose a CM because they can go into almost every formation we've been talking about on so many podcasts. Where would he fit? Where would he fit? He would fit everywhere. He would fit anywhere and everywhere. Any manager would be happy to have him in his side. He can do so many different things. But similar, like we talk about Pogba, his best position is probably CM and not that constructed. Let him be the star that he is. And you've talked about it a lot, David, something with Pogba that can rub people the wrong way. And even myself, who was a huge Pogba fan when he was on Juve, I now don't support Pogba because he's on Man U. I'm a Chelsea fan, so put together those parts. But still, the thing that I always knew about Pogba is, all right, he loves himself a little much. And that's fine. I mean, I'm not saying that even the best stars love themselves a little bit. I mean, look at Zlatan. But sometimes there's just a couple things going on in Pogba's head that I'm not sure really attribute to him putting his best ability out on the pitch game in, game out. And David, correct me if I'm wrong, I still don't think Milinkovic-Savic has an Instagram.
He doesn't.
I don't think he does, which I love because that is just so rare, especially for a young player like him. That's awesome. And I know that may sound silly to people listening, but no, this guy really just wants to play. And you can really tell that when he's out on the pitch. He's a joy to watch. He's one of those players, though, that, you know, Pogba, by the way, I'm a huge Pogba apologist. I think he really is one of the top players in the world. He just hasn't asserted himself like that. But there's something that with Milinkovic-Savic, he's that player that you want to watch highlight videos of and watch him in games. Yeah. And usually those can be mutually exclusive. Sometimes someone's a YouTube star, but really you barely see it in games. And then sometimes you have to appreciate someone not by watching highlights of them, but in games. But Milinkovic-Savic seems to have it all. If you know anything about the sport, or even if you don't, watch him. You'll learn a lot, and he's really impressive. So getting back to your original question, what has stood out the most? The ease in which he plays, but he still plays with that tenacity. It's awfully impressive. So, David, it's funny because we've had so many podcasts talking about Milinkovic-Savic, and I actually on my phone have a copy and paste now with his name. I like to get all the accents right, and SMS could be, you know, one way to do it because it's just easier that way. But still, that could still be vague to many people. So I got to ask you, I mean, you know more about him than I do. What are some of his nicknames?
So you did a great job with the analysis, and you didn't have this ahead of time because you actually hit on a lot of why he has these nicknames. So the first easy one is Il Sergente, the sergeant. That comes from his first name, Sergei, but also because of his demeanor, his strength, his leadership. Like, he really is physically imposing, and you can see the other guys on Lazio really rallying around him. And two, when I think of the sergeant thing, I do think of what you mentioned. You know, I don't have a problem with Pogba's social media, his persona. I think that that has really no bearing to me with how he plays on the field, but I do get how that becomes a crutch when he's not doing well. As of now, that's something that you wouldn't get with Savic. Also, you know, he's not into the dabbing and that sort of thing. I think he'd look quite awkward if he did that. So that's one of his name. And the other one that I learned is when I did a profile on Savic for Calciomercato last October, and I have a colleague of mine on Di Marzio's site, Alberto Trovamala, who did really great work. So he helped me with the article. He's there at practice for Lazio, often knows him a little bit. And he told me the nickname they use in Italy there is Milinkocrazia, which is a play of word on democracy. In Italian, it would be democrazia. And that's really a tribute to his versatility. It's really when you say he spreads Milinkocrazia is really because he can do it all, as you mentioned. So just to fill in the blanks with your analysis, what stands out to me is he's played in a lot of different positions. Like, he was more of a defensive midfielder than box to box when he first came on the scene. Then once Kita Balde left at first, then Felipe Anderson was hurt, they moved him up front in a more offensive position at the beginning of the season. If you remember, in the Super Cup final against Juve, it was really the first match of Calcio last August. He was devastating offensively. And also, if you notice, in the last match against Inter, when Immobile came out, he was playing literally as a central striker. And that's sometimes Lazio, if they desperately need a goal in the 5-10 minutes of a match, they just put him as a central striker where he can be really devastating. I also think he could play as a center back in a pinch, no problem. I have a feeling if there's a red card to the goalkeeper, he could easily fit in at that. So those are to his two nicknames, the Sergeant and Milinkovic-Krstić, and that's really to his strength, seriousness, and his versatility.
Milinkovic-Krstić is not that much easier to spell either, but
there you go.
I definitely like the sound of that. So, David, I got to be honest. Of course, talking about Milinkovic-Savic right now is so appropriate because anybody who's been with us from day one on our preview episode, and as you said, the listeners will hear it later in this episode. In the preview episode, you talked about Milinkovic-Savic, and at that time, my ears went up. I knew of him probably more from FIFA, to be honest.
Yeah,
but I had no idea how high we should rate him. So I don't know a lot about his journey, but there might be a lot of people listening that don't know. So A, how did Lazio acquire him and how did they develop him?
Yeah, so he was kind of bouncing around. It's interesting, you'll hear in the segments, Matteo Bonetti mentioned that he grew up in Spain. So he bounced around a lot of different leagues. He ended up in Belgium where he played at Genk, which is a team that seems to have a lot of good prospects. And Lazio bought him from them. At first, they paid $10 million, and then the Genk still had an option of receiving part of his future transfer fee, and Lazio smartly paid that off recently, and they own him full. So I think in total, they invested around $20 million in him. Interestingly, as Milinkovic-Savic was super close to joining Fiorentina, and at the last second, Lazio was able to win the race for them. Lazio really has a very good track record finding players abroad. Their sporting director, Igi Tarre, really deserves a lot of credit. So they defeated Fiorentina in the race, invested around 20 million euro total to get him. As I mentioned, at first, Simone Inzaghi, his manager at Lazio, was a little bit reticent. He really wasn't a consistent starter at first, but he warmed up to him and then started playing in the midfield. And then, as I mentioned, he played more offensively once Kita Balde left and before Felipe Anderson returned, and then he settled in as a more of an offensive midfielder. Lazio plays a kind of a 3-5-2, 3-4-3 at times, so he'd play Slade a little bit more up front. So he's been very versatile. I think Lazio, you can't say enough of how well they've developed him. That $20 million investment is going to turn into a lot more, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, so speaking of money, this is... I'm making this pun way too often, but this is the million-dollar question. What is the market for Milinkovic-Savic? The transfer window, obviously, is technically it's here, but it's really approaching. What is the market for Milinkovic-Savic?
Yeah, so, of course, you know, there's just very few clubs. As I mentioned, Lazio invested $20 million in him. They're going to go at least for $100 million. I think he's going to fetch probably more than that, just because of the market, his ability, as you mentioned, Alex, it's such an important position. There's such appetite, and he's still only 23 years old. He's just going to get better, at least for the foreseeable future. So don't underestimate Lazio's ability to sell, but especially without being in the Champions League, I think it's pretty much a foregone conclusion he'll be sold. But just because Lazio isn't in the Champions League, they are actually one of the most financially stable clubs in Serie A. So just note, had they gone to the Champions League, they would have had no financial fair play restrictions, and Inter has to face them. So Lazio isn't going to be pressured to sell him for a fee that they're not comfortable selling him at. So because it's going to be a very high amount, that really limits it to like a few clubs, some PL club. Of course, Manchester United have scouted him quite a bit. You know, they are interested in him, but, you know, it seems their midfield's evolving with Fred expected to come in. So let's see what happens there. PSG has the financial fair play situation to try to navigate. I think if they didn't have that, they would really be a team to watch for him. Bayern Munich have been linked to him before, but I'd be surprised if they'd spend that much. So my guess is probably in the Premier League, I could see more clubs joining the race. I will say for Serie A, it's not really realistic if Lazio sells him. I think even if Juve were to sell Dybala for a fortune, this is a pure hypothetical. My guess is Dybala is going to stay at Juve, but even say they do sell him, I don't see it. Like, this is kind of like sell Pogba, bring in Higuain. So I think if he does leave, and almost certainly he will, it will be to go abroad. It'll just be a very interesting market for him because of the big clubs and big money involved with him. So enough from Alex and I on Milinkovic-Savic. Actually, you hear a little bit more about me talking about him. We're going to go over some of the segments that we had on the show on Milinkovic-Savic. So the first one is from Alex said from the pilot episode where we talked about him on our first show ever. Then we have Michele Di Mascio from Lazio's fan club in Toronto. He came on the podcast, gave us his take on him. Then we had our friend Sean McIntosh from the Texas Laziali. And finally, Matteo Bonetti, one of the voices of Serie A on BN Sport. He had a very interesting take on him when we had him on the podcast recently. So I think after this podcast, you are also going to be an expert on Milinkovic-Savic. As always, if you enjoy what you hear, please leave us a rating on iTunes. That goes a big way towards supporting the podcast.
The player in Serie A that reminds me the most of Pogba these days is Milinkovic-Savic, who plays for Lazio. If you follow my Twitter account, you know that I've been sky high on this player for quite some time. I think, you know, he combines everything that we really like about Pogba, his great physical tools. You know, he's very tall, very strong, able to insert himself at the right time, score some big goals and provide some big assists. And I think Milinkovic-Savic has all these things. And, you know, a lot of people often tweet me about the great young midfielders in Serie A, and there's certainly a lot of them. I'm a huge fan of what Napoli has done on the transfer market. They have great young midfielders, and Diarra, who used to play for Bologna, just a superb player. Zielinski, who was linked to Liverpool, and I think Liverpool really regrets not pushing harder to sign him. And another player, Marco Rog, who played for Croatia in the Euro. And these are really exciting players. And I think Milinkovic-Savic might have more upside than all of them. And the reason I say that is because just of his physical tools. I also like that he has a mean streak in him that I think Pogba lacks. The other thing that he has that Pogba, you know, he's not into dabbing. He's not into social media. He's just really into performing on the pitch. So I'm going to tell you, you know, if you're not that familiar with Serie A, like, start watching Lazio, because this is really a great prospect. He's already being linked to a lot of big clubs. So that's really one to watch. And I'm very excited to see what the future holds for him.
My favorite player in all of Serie A, I've been following, been a huge fan since last season, is Milinkovic-Savic. You know, one of the guys that you just watch him a few times and he just has that it factor. You know, this season, I think, especially at the beginning, he was playing in a more advanced position. We mentioned Felipe Anderson was gone, Kita Balde out. He played more advanced position, showed even more of his great skill set. I've described him, if I had to, you know, tell someone who's never watched him what he's kind of like to me, he reminds me of Diego Simeone when he was at Lazio, that great grinta and defensive midfielder, but also the ball skills of like a Pogba, like a really tall player that just has amazing ball skills, great spin moves and whatnot. He's just an absolute joy to watch. But how, you know, you're a Lazio fan, you've been following him for quite a bit. How would you describe it to our listeners who maybe have only watched a few games?
I would ask you to tell me how you really feel about him. My goodness, you have a deep affection for him as well. And that's one thing I got to say without kissing your ass too much, David. You've always given Lazio their fair shake on social media, whereas opposed, as we know, being Italians, sometimes the media, they have their certain agendas and they're paid by certain clubs to write certain stories. But, you know, I have an affection as well for SMS, as we like to call him. He's raw strength, raw talent. Best prospect in Serie A for me, hands down. I also like the fact, personally, watching him, that he helps out in defense, which is something Paul Pogba was never really known for. And you had mentioned Diego Simeone, and his qualities and physicality give me a cross between Simeone and, I'd say, Stankovic, too, when they were in their primes for Lazio.
So So let me ask you about a player we are constantly asked about on the podcast, and that is Milinkovic-Savic, who, of course, you know, as you mentioned, had a little bit of a dip in form recently, but he's been sensational this season. So you follow Lazio closely, even more so than I would. So tell our listeners how you would describe Milinkovic-Savic.
Well, I certainly appreciate you leading the Milinkovic-Savic fan club week in and week out. So in one word, you know, to describe him, it would be a beast. And I think that word fits him so well because he's as physically gifted as any player, really built like an NFL tight end that can move like a ballerina. And ultimately, as a footballer, he can do it all. He wins the ball. Few players can win the ball like he does in the air. Such a safety blanket for a keeper to start an attack when you know you can just get it into his vicinity and he's going to come down with the ball and not just come down with the ball, but make the right play. And it's something we hear time and time again, the comparison to Pogba. And I think it's accurate. I do think he's a little bit more tenacious of a ball winner. And I think he's somebody where oftentimes you see world-class players have to play under a specific system or under a certain style to be successful. I really think Milinkovic-Savic can play and is versatile enough to play for any club in the world, under any coach, under any style. He's somebody that's absolutely worth the price of admission. And as a Lazio fan, you know, ultimately a little bit of dip in form right now may not be the worst thing in the world if it keeps some of the big clubs away from him.
Tell me what you've seen from Milinkovic-Savic in the past month or so since we've had you on the podcast.
The man we all love to talk about. I mean, look, talk about stepping up. You know, he's absolutely done that. The numbers that continue to be associated with his potential sale, you know, I think he's justified that lofty price tag in the past few matches. He's had 3 goals in the last 4 matches. All critical, all absolutely crucial to keeping their Champions League dream alive. He's coming into this match with 12 goals on the year. That actually leads all Serie A midfielders in scoring for the campaign. And as we know, you know, he does so much more than just scoring. And what I'd love to see is without Ciro, without Luis Alberto, without Parolo, he has had to step up. And for such a young player, to actually do that in a moment where it has been required says so much to me about the type of quality he has. You know, I know it's a team effort. There's been a lot from Lucas Leiva and other players, but, you know, I'd say he is the biggest reason why Lazio is even still in a position to qualify. And again, for a player of his quality at that age to not only do it when it's easy, but to do it when it has had to come from him has been so impressive to see. Him really thrive under that type of pressure. But, you know, he's got one more game. It's a final. This is going to be, for him, one of the biggest matches he's ever played. I know the game is going to be it's going to be on BN Sports. It's the main attraction this weekend. All the stakes on the line. It's a big club, Inter is. And, you know, I'm going to be really excited to see what he can do when eyeballs are on him in a full Olympico. And all eyes on him and all the pressure. It's going to be exciting to see what he does.
In the midfield, I am also a big admirer of Milinkovic-Savic. I wrote it on Twitter. He's actually from quite an impressive family. Both of his parents were professional athletes. And I don't remember the last time I saw a player at 6'4". 195 centimeters, be able to have that sort of balance and agility, the way that he can absorb contact and wriggle by. He grew up in Spain as well, which I don't know if too many people know that. So he's got a bit of that Spanish flair as well with the ball at his feet. And I think he has a lot more substance to Paul Pogba, which is another player that I feel inclined to compare him to because of the physicality, the talent, the ability to make up a play that really has you gasping and saying, what the hell did I just see? But I think he's a better overall player than Pogba. I think he has more substance than Pogba. Yeah. And wherever he goes, and he will leave, that team is going to get a magnificent player. It's going to cost them, though.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I've always used the Pogba comparison. Like you mentioned, the equilibrium, the ability with the ball, similar heights. I think Milinkovic-Savic, I think, is just more concrete. I think you really hit the nail on the head. I think you know more what you're going to get with him. And I think Milinkovic-Savic is better than when Pogba was at Juve, but he is a pretty good comp to him.
Yeah, I think Pogba is a luxury player. He has a great image, right? He's so cool, and you can see why you'd want to make him the marketing icon of your team. But Milinkovic-Savic is just an absolute terror, and any team would love to have him starting.